Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meché, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. It's wonderful to be here today. Happy Wednesday. A little late start in the chat, so I'm welcoming people that are just now starting to get in. And I do see people on the phone lines, and we'll be getting to you as well. If you have a question or a comment, press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you want to get on air. So hello, everyone in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. Hello, everyone listening via iTunes, Tuned In Radio, and also, of course, the archives. You are with us. Got a lot of listeners. Got some new listeners from Paris, actually, so very cool about that, and also some new listeners from Australia and New Zealand. You know who you are because you emailed me, and I just want to say hello. I usually won't give names unless people say that it's okay, because I've had people they don't, you know, people don't know that I'm into this, so don't say my name. Or I'm at work, don't mention my name. And but who knows, your boss may not be listening, or Awakenings listener, reader, or participant had emailed me a question in and said, don't use my name, because my boyfriend also listens to the show. And that was pretty cool. Sometimes, you know, you're asking personal questions, and you don't want, you know, someone to know that it's you, especially if it's a relationship thing. You know, you're trying to figure things out, and you know, maybe you don't want to disclose. So I'm totally down with that. You don't have to mention names. And usually I don't, because people kind of know what they've emailed in about. Or I'll just give a first name. Anyway, long intro. Getting excited for the new energies of this year. I am going to be doing a whole segment on readings, as well as my blog. I do say sign up for my blog, Insights for Spirit-Led Living, or the Solar Newsletter, which you can just email awakeningsradio@gmail.com. I've got some great help coming in the new year. One of my assistants and producers taking over more work for me, and a wonderful Awakenings listener is going to be doing some work for me as well. So I'm really freed up to get a lot of the information that not only I want to get out, but workshop participants have been saying, you know, when are you going to edit this and put this out here? When are you going to write on this? I took notes. Why don't you, you know, when are you going to write on this? So I'm listening, and I love doing that kind of stuff. So there's going to be just tons of information, new tools, resources for everyone, and myself included. So if you want to be in on that, if you want the 411 on all that, email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com and just say put me on the list or subscribe or I want the newsletter, keep me in the loop, however you want to do it. I want to be in the inner circle. I want to know what's happening, however you want to phrase it. Just email and we'll put you on the list and make sure that you keep in touch and know what's happening. You can also always go to my Facebook page. My profile page is Michelle with 2 L's, and then the Awakenings Radio page is a Michelle Meché with 1 L. Or you can just do a search and put Awakenings Radio or Awakenings with Michelle Meché or Awakenings, and that'll get you, you'll usually post up on there as well. And in fact, this Saturday and Sunday, we have an in-person workshop, so it'll be in the Los Angeles area, actually kind of Brentwood, Santa Monica area. And that'll be on Saturday the 21st for the winter solstice. And then we have another workshop this Sunday, the 22nd, which is a teleworkshop. You can be anywhere around the world and join us. And it's all on the deeper truth, connecting to your own inner guidance, getting to your deeper truth and how to live that. That's my thing. How do you figure out what you're about and to live that? How do you live creatively? How do you strategize? And the thing is, the only recipe is, and this is what I share with you guys, the only recipe is how to do it your way. You know, so everyone has this innate map. Things are like the books, The Secret, all that kind of stuff. Those things just will not work unless you know what you're about and what your soul path is. You know, you cannot, if you're an apple, you're not going to manifest oranges. You know, if you're an apple tree, you're not going to manifest oranges. So that just totally, all that kind of stuff just gets you, you know, like chasing your tail. However, you can find out what you're about and what you're here to do and maximize on that. I'm not going to dive too deep into it, but at some point I'll share more. But many listeners and clients of mine have heard stories of my life. And, you know, I lived all over the world. I modeled. I was an actress. I had my own TV show. It was only – I had amazing things happen to me only because I listened to my inner guidance and I knew what I was about. I wasn't trying to do anybody else's life. And I see that a lot of people get led astray because they're trying to do the next thing, the latest and the greatest, or they're thinking, you know, your path may not be to have tons of money. You know, it's not, you know, years ago I was working on this project. It ended up not being as big as it was, quote unquote, supposed to, and I kind of ended actually backed out of it, but they were talking about the money that was to be made, and one guy was saying, yeah, I'm going to buy a boat, I'm going to get a yacht, I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to get the plane, and it was a media project. And this one guy, he already had quite a bit of financial abundance, you know, or prosperity. You know, remember, there's inner and outer wealth, so it's not all about money. And this guy said, I don't want those things. You can get those things, and then I'll just share them with you, or I'll come on the yacht because it's expensive to maintain. And I thought, that's right. You know, you got to know what your thing is and what your real fulfillment is. You know, some of you may not be into China. You know, we had this conversation with one of the guests, Kanta Bosniak, and I don't know how we got on this, but I was saying for an occasion I got all this China, or China was the thing, you know, for weddings, you should get China, and I was like, I don't like China, I mean, I mind it, it's fun, you know, other people, but I like ceramics, and I said, you just got to know, what it's not one is better or worse than the other, one is, means you're more something or less something, but if you like ceramics, you know, go with that. If you like pottery, you know, if you like things made with clay, go with that. If you like kind of dainty little things of flowers, and I enjoy that sometimes. I have some friends that have tea sets like that, and I've had them myself, but I love, like what I'm drinking out of now, a great kind of light green, celery green Zen mug, you know? And I have some cups more, I don't know, pottery, ceramic, whatever that word is. So that's what I'm about. So we are going to be doing more readings and sharings, and if you have dreams or questions, you can email me always at awakeningsradio@gmail.com, and I'll answer them on air, or better yet, you can call in as well. So we're going to be looking at, especially the beginning of the year, what cycle, personal cycle people are in, and see how is that shaping up with the universal cycle that we're coming in, because 2014 is going to be kick-ass, okay? It's about change, new direction. It's, you know, if you've been prepared and you've been kind of clearing the jetsam and flotsam, if you've been moving what's extraneous, moving stuff to the side and getting clearer about what it is you want to do, you're going to have definitive, definite, tangible results in 2014. And I would say major changes. It's going to happen in waves. There's always the front runners in changes. So you might look around and say, God, why is my friend change? Why is my friend got this great job as a guy or the girl, or friend moving in this great place and I want to move? So a lot of that will depend on your personal cycle. That's why we're going to be tapping into that, as well as what you've prepared for. You know, I'll be honest, a lot of times I will give people readings, especially if they're destiny issues, and they'll say, well, you were right with that, but it took so long, you know, to manifest or happen, or didn't happen right away. You know, it happened a year later, 2 years later, 10 years later. That's because a lot not only depends on us, but the other people or person involved, and also emotionally. If you're emotionally stuck, you're going to delay your happenings. So that's why, you know, on my website, and it's for free, there's the basic emotional clearing work. And then for little C, there's the CD you can get, or the MP3 of the 5-step emotional clearing process. They're doing resonance repatterning. When I feel I'm making changes in my life, or I'm going into a new level, whether personally or career, and learning something new, I will right away get my mentor or my teacher. I pull somebody in. You know, it's like training for a marathon or being a dancer. You go, or an actress or actor, rather. You go get that coach. You get the acting coach, performance coach. You go, you know, you do your research. You know, you Google it, but it's always good to work with somebody. So what I will share with everyone is it's really going to be not only good and beneficial, but necessary in 2014 that you get the support, you know, whether programs like this or groups or a good friend buddy, you know, that you can really be accountable to, and that can really call you on your stuff, that you can both be honest with each other and help each other. Because we're not meant to do this alone, you know, and even in relationships, look for people that are mutually receptive and there's a resonance there. Look for partnerships. Don't look to be rescued. Don't look to be saved. Don't look to rescue or save someone else, but look to someone else that it's like, hey, we can float more in our boat together. You know, you got the cheese, I got the vino, you know, or you got the tea and I got the honey. You know, let's bring it together, right? So think of partnerships where you're adding to, where there's a synergy. Heading off on that tangent a little bit. Hello, everyone in the chat. More people getting in there. It's hard for people to get into the chat today. I don't know if it's because I got in late or what was going on. Listeners online, we are going to get to you. I just I also want to say second half of our program, we'll have Peter Jubin on, the author of Simply Notice. I love that. I've been reading a little bit of it, actually. And mindfulness, noticing, any of that kind of thing can really be, is always helpful, but especially when you're making major changes, it's good to have those tools. You know, I meditate a lot, but movement, working out, and my dance helps me a lot as well. Those that are listening, let's see, on the phone, if you do have, if you wanted a reading or a question, or you want to just please press 1 on the keypad. So I can still pick up anyway. I like to do that. Okay. All right. I just want to cover something, a couple things, and we'll weave in calls in just 2 minutes, let's say 2-3 minutes. Got a quick question from James. When the term interdimensional is used, what is it being referred to? Are you aware of any readily available reading material on this topic? And Merry Christmas. Awesome 2014. You too, James. Thanks. Interdimensional, other dimensional, others, always the other dimensions, interdimensional within dimensions. We can get caught. It's called dimensional doorways. And, you know, these dimensional doorways, they're you know, I'm thinking about this the other morning, by the way. It's all, everything is by vibration. So even whatever species we are, we're separated by a rearranging of the molecules, right, which could also be looked at dimensionally, so or frequency. So what makes a bull, makes a cow, a person, a doggy being, you know, what makes the ocean? It's all the same substance. You know, it's consciousness. It's all the same life force, pranic energy, various, you know, energetic structures or molecular structures, you know, like what makes hydrogen peroxide, what makes water, You know, there's just a slight rearranging on a molecular level. So think of it this way. There can be like, you know, when we call them the holes or the gaps or the black holes. Think of when, here's a good way to describe it, when you're thinking interdimensionally and dimensionally. I'm gonna use this analogy. Let's say you've got a big room, or your room in your house. Let's use the living room, and you want to rearrange your furniture. So your furniture is in a certain configuration, right? That configuration breaks down to a complex wavelength. Let's just call it frequencies, okay? So anything can be read, and the I Ching talks about this a lot. If you get into the more advanced readings of the I Ching, they say you can see the relation to anything and what it means. Even the items I have on my desk right now, the way they're laid out, the way they're positioned, all set up, the triagram. So let's go back to the furniture in the room. So it's in a certain configuration, which means it's a certain frequency or complex of frequencies. You could say a certain vibration or vibrational tone is there by that setting. When I get in there now and start moving things around, I'm moving interdimensionally. I'm moving between what is on one dimension or one configuration into another. There's a gap. There's a void. Anytime we create, we're moving interdimensionally. We're moving in between what was, what is, or really what is or what was is all the same. You know, what is born out of what was, but it's the same substance, it's the thing, it's just a rearranging, if you want to say, of the elements or a vibrational shift, you know, rearranging the molecules, if you will. So that gap coming in between one frequency or set of frequencies to another is the interdimension. And that's where the magic happens. That's where the alchemy happens. So the magic, the alchemy happens before something is made manifest. That's where the juice is. It's in the unseen. It's in what you can feel, what seems to be palpable. You can feel it, you can kind of taste it. You can see. It's like, you know, when the weather starts changing, right? You can't say, well, it's fall now. But you say, well, it's becoming fall. I can tell the change. It's a little wetter. Or I think it might rain because I feel there's more dampness in the air, or there's just something different. Or I think it's going to get windy, or I think the clouds are going to start darkening up. Why? The sun's out. No, I don't know. I can sense it. I can feel it. You know, and maybe you start seeing some cloud changes. So we play in both realms. You know, we play in many realms, really. But the change, just like it sounds with inter, you know, enter, meaning between, right, between realms, among, it's an interblend, but it's also to enter, E-N-T-E-R, right? So it's, you know, between there and what's tangible or what's earth, what's of terra, and it's to be sometimes also in more than one, how do I want to say this, in more than one dimension, you know, a dimensional, you're in between. So sometimes when you're in between, you're in it all. Okay, that makes sense. One thing that helps kind of sometimes with these terms, I find you get into more advanced metaphysics, it's actually very makes a lot of common sense if you kind of look up words. You can get the gist of it. I think part of this, for all of us, we've been taught to be so kind of black and white or only focus on what is tangible, what we can touch or what we can see. But there's a whole unseen world. And it's simply, you know, it's not unseen to everyone, by the way. There's a lot of things that people can see, especially I know I can, that are there that people can either not see at all, not even feel, and then some people maybe feel it. So, yeah, that interplay, like the interplay. And remember, every connecting, every even on a person level with people, every connecting in a way, we're bringing our own dimension, our own complex of frequencies to the table, to the party, so to speak, right? And then there's an interplay. What happens in the middle? You know, that's where the magic is. The result is great, too. It's a manifestation. It's the result of the creative input or the alchemical input. But what's going on in the magic, in the middle? What's happening in the middle? I kind of like to reside there sometimes. I'm going to touch on one more thing, and then we're going to get to phone lines, because I did have some email questions that I didn't get to last week. And one of them was that many people have been dreaming about grandmother or grandfather, especially those that have passed on. And as we say, we have many different veils, which are dimensions. And again, they're not these tangible, delineated, I mean, they're tangible, palpable sensing, but it's frequency. In other words, the frequency of something that is seemingly more solid has more slowed down energy, right? And we learn this in my Soul Path workshops, especially the tele-workshop, because we're all working remotely. We literally do exercises where we can feel each other. We can feel where each other is. We can feel the denser physical energy that we are. And then we learn to touch in or tune in to the subtle energy, to feel, wow, what does that energy feel like when there's nothing? Maybe there's a spirit there or a guide or just universal energy, whatever one is meeting there. And then one begins to palpating, to feel out. And I will tell people, and people will literally say, I could feel that person. And I knew that was them by their voice. I could feel they were north of me. You know, and sure enough, they would be. You know, maybe they're in Canada and another person is in Tucson, Arizona. Well, they're way north, you know, or I could feel that they were in colder weather, you know. So it's amazing what we can feel and see beyond the denser physicality, beyond what seems to be tangible. So getting into more of that subtle energy, subtle refinement. So one of the Because of that, yes, the grandfather, grandmother energy, I feel, is coming through to really connect people more to their ancestral wisdom and ancient wisdom. You're going to see a lot of this in a lot of, I think, the Maori, however you want to say that, has talked about this, other Native American cultures and tribes. These are the times of the great changes when science is bringing in spirituality or the other or the ancient mysticism. There will be a preponderance of that, connecting in with your own ancient wisdom. And some of your ancient wisdom is your wisdom from your life experience, what's been passed on to you. Sometimes it's what's not been passed on to you, what's been missed. So there is a great opening of that grandmother, grandfather energy to anchor in more of the ancient wisdom in a new way, in a contemporary way. Okay, there's contemporary, you know, if we don't update our rituals, if we don't update our applications, you see this in technology, then it becomes empty ritual. If we don't update, it gets lost, you know. And so to some degree, we can celebrate the old, what's been passed on. We can celebrate what's ancient, what's traditional. But for a ritual to live on and for it to be alive and to really support us as individuals in a community, it has to be updated to the people. So we're in this whole kind of rebalancing act with that, where there's the old is blending with the new. I saw something the other day on TV, on PBS. It was just a phenomenal documentary of how there are some juvenile systems that are integrating this practice that the Maoris do. It's definitely part of their philosophy of how to deal with, you know, problem situations, you know, juvenile hall, like, you know, legal stuff. And they do this whole reconciling where they bring the people that were supposedly the victim and the perpetrator, and they bring them together. and they talk to see what was going on there. You know, what did you? Why did you do what you did? What was going on? And usually there's some misunderstanding, you know, right? Like Dr. Gerald Jampowski always says, everything is either a cry for love or expression of love, right? Even the most heinous thing, it's misunderstood love. I want connection. I want, you know. So it was really beautiful. And they're planning on doing this even with, like, kind of more violent crimes or, you know, crimes that are more up the ladder that are, you know, not worse. But they taped some of it, and it was just amazing to see these people work through and really be being treated with honor and respect that, like, hey, you're misled. You're doing these crimes. You beat this person up, you know, and again, these were, you know, teenagers. You did this because you didn't know any better and you're misled. And let me show you another way. Let me give you the tools. And the recidivism was just extremely low. I think it was 95% of the people, no offenses ever again. So it was pretty phenomenal. So, again, so if you are seeing a lot of grandmother, grandfather energy in your dreams, or your grandparents are coming to you, they're coming to you right now to share with you. And, of course, it's the grandmother, grandfather, as well as the personal, the divine mother, father energy, and the, through the, you know, as divine feminine, divine masculine, divine father, divine mother, and divine grandfather, and divine grandmother. So they are reaching out more. I've had more clients asking about this, and people asking in my workshops, and as well as writing in email questions, like, I keep dreaming about my grandmother. I keep dreaming about my grandfather. I feel like he has a message for me. We did a session the other day where some of the grandfather did come in, and the whole idea was not just a healing and support for the granddaughter, but also for her father, which is the grandfather's son. So a lot of healing going on, a lot of reconciling, making peace, you know, so that we can just create more, express more, love more, right? We can just have more of that fulfillment. All right, let's get the phone lines. Again, the number for call, Jens, if you want to share a dream, is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad to get on air. Hi, 325-456. Welcome to Awakening.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. I'm sorry, I'm checking out. I didn't think you'd answer right away.
Oh.
You threw me off.
What's
sorry.
That's all right. What are you doing? You're in a checkout?
I'm checking out right
store?
Now.
I can come back to you. I can come right back to you.
No, I've been waiting to talk to you for so long. Oh, my gosh. I have so many questions. Let's see. Where can I start?
Where do you start? First of all, what's your first name?
Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hey. Hi.
I love it. You're at the grocery. You're checking. I love it. I just love all that. You know, we used to do. I'll give you a little time there. Are you checking out?
Okay. Yes. And I told her she's going to hold on to my stuff. I just didn't expect it to pick up so quick. Oh, well, let's see. I'm in Texas. I am on a spiritual walk.
Oh, wonderful.
I am trying to find out what my path is, and oh my goodness, problems with my family,
mm-hmm.
And I am a single, I'm 40 years old, single parent, mm-hmm. I've always done everything on my own, I seem to have a rebel spirit.
You're a light worker, of course. Maybe even like
well,
did you feel you didn't belong in your family?
Yes, never have.
Yeah.
Anywhere. I'm always
anywhere.
By
yeah,
myself.
Starseed. Yeah, starseed.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's the thing someone told me years ago, a wise man, I think when I was studying with him, I think he was probably in his 70s by then, maybe late 60s, early 70s. And I've heard this before, and I find it to be true. Most, if not all, light workers will not feel comfortable in your family of origin. And the reason being is it's you know, on the human game, if we don't have some discomfort, we usually don't embark on a path. After a while, we do. You can learn that, wow, learning can be fun, or being on a spiritual path, or being on a path of consciousness, or learning more and sharing more can be fun. I don't have to do it just because I'm in pain, you know. But that usually comes later. And also, if it was too cushy at your family of origin house, people would not leave to go on the path. You just wouldn't stretch out and develop. The thing I do feel with you, Laura, is that it is time for you, and making this call today is a definite step in that direction, to seek out, kind of like the prodigal son. You've got to go out and connect with people, find, you know, whether online or group or whatever, find people that are similar to you. And one way we can find out who resonates with us is ask yourself, what are the qualities of people and situations that fulfill me? You want to make that your little mission in 2014. So, because if you follow that, you're going to attract and you're going to meet people that are more resonant to you. So it's putting yourself in that environment. See, when you're a light worker, when you're a starseed, you got to go on. There's a reason we call it the path. It's not just a metaphorical path. It's literally, we got to get out there on our feet and we got to travel. You know, I did a lot of traveling. I did a lot of moving around. I did a lot of movement in my life, and I have a feeling it's coming up again. Because you're sent out. It's like little missions. You're sent out to learn or connect with people and share and help them and learn from others. You don't do that. You will rarely find a starseed or a light worker that stays close to home. I've never seen it. There's always some kind of movement to get new training, so to speak. So you literally have to get on the path and walk somewhere, drive somewhere, another city. If it's like you'd like to hear music, go listen to music. Last night I went listening to music. I told myself that's something that feeds my soul. So when we're doing activities and we're being around people that feed our soul, then our soul path is unfolding, and we then begin to recognize our own gifts, our own soul qualities and our gifts, and then it starts being revealed to us what we're actually here to do. It starts making sense. Is this helping at all?
Oh, yes, because I travel quite a bit, and I just can't seem to resonate with anyone, and I feel alone.
Okay.
Very alone.
But you travel quite a bit. I want you, but are you doing what feeds your soul when you're traveling? So that's the difference.
Oh, my goodness. I sleep with music, not music, but anything that subconsciously that I can get a hold of, I get a hold of. If it's
okay,
hypnosis,
but no.
to keep my vibration up.
No, but no, what I want you to do is I want you to keep your vibration up the old-fashioned way. That's like connecting with people that you can talk to that you really resonate with, or you have these great philosophical conversations. So the travel, it's not just travel for travel. It's traveling and like a pioneer going and staking out that area. Where's the metaphysical bookstore? If it's music, where's the great lecture? If you're into Jungian stuff, where's the Jungian lecture? Or where's the hike? I've got to get on the trails. You know, where's the gym? I got to get on that treadmill. See, our soul path is not, because it's a path. It's a hike. It's a trail. It's not completely handed to us. The map is inside us, but it's almost like this map that's within, it's like invisible ink, and every time you kind of do something, a line is drawn in. You know, something is drawn in. So you've literally... And it becomes like magic, because once you start doing this, then you see your own template. Then the map becomes very clear, and then you follow that. You know, it's kind of like this sonar or, you know, kind of sensory, you know, this GPS that you're following. It says, go here. Like, GPS doesn't give you the whole directions. It gives you the layout, But then it says, okay, go 500 feet and turn right and go down this street and then go that street. So you're on a bit of a magical mystery tour, you know, which is great. If you have, you know, magical mystery tour is a great experience because it bypasses the rational mind, the beta mind, the conscious mind. So that, my dear, you need to get on your little Dorothy of the Wizard of Oz shoes and get out there. You see, it's up to the light worker, it's up to the star seed to get out there. People aren't going to come to you, not in the beginning of their path, because it's your path. You know what that implies is I'm traveling somewhere, I'm going somewhere. And then some of it is mental, yeah, books and foods and, you know, visualizing and hypnotherapy and all that. But you have to literally get out there. That making sense?
And I
now?
Yes. Well, yes, and I have my grandparents. They're in their 80s, and I don't think they'll be here much longer, and that's a lot of reasons why I stay where I'm at.
But there's places around you. Get in your car. So what I want you to do for the next week, I want you to do it into 2014 because it's going to take a while, but the next week or two, and then call back in. I want you to write down what are the qualities of people and qualities of situations and circumstances that are fulfilling to you, that make your heart open and, you know, make your shoulders go back and you go, God, this is so cool. Or I love this. This is so, oh, my God, this is great. I love it. I just feel so good. And I want you to go to those places on your own. I want you to start that because here's the deal. Like when I first moved back up here, you know, I don't want to get into this too much into the story because I want to get to other listeners, but I was in an area that was amazing, but my soul wasn't being fed. And the guides came and said, okay, this is the process to get on the soul path. Is you have to look at qualities that really fulfill you, what really just inspires you and just uplifts you, no matter what's going on in your life. So I started looking around. Well, I got to be around. And you don't want to look for, specific people, what, you know, oh, they got to have this hair, or I got to have this kind of house. No, no, no. Quality. So my thing mm-hmm. was art, music, dance. I've got to have everywhere I travel, there's got to be a health food store, you know, a bookstore, metaphysical bookstore, but even a regular bookstore because I like reading, you know, going and sitting down and, cafe, someplace. I need to walk where I'm at. But see, these are the things that feed my soul. My soul, no matter how down I am, when I'm walking my dog and I'm at the beach, got to be near water, and I stop at a cafe or I see the similar people, or just seeing people with their iPad or their computer and they're creating or they're in the cafe, they're writing, or I'm around artists, because I'm also an artist, my soul just soars. I get inspired, you know. Laura, everybody that's listening, if you go for those things in your life, that's where the magic happens, and you'll meet those seemingly coincidental connections, those synchronistic connections that uplift you, inspire you, and keep your vibrational frequency naturally up, because when you do those things, your vibrational frequency naturally stays up because you're more in resonance, more in coherence, more in harmony than disharmony. Okay, you were going to say?
Yeah, well, see, and this is what's so interesting, because I came from a very abusive marriage,
mm-hmm.
and to see where I am now, it's amazing. I changed careers. I'm a hairdresser now, and
okay.
The people that I do have that come and sit in my chair they do keep my spirit up. I love interacting with these women or men that come in, or children. And when I see them down or sad, it's like, oh, do you see how beautiful you are?
But
you've
that's
got
not
to
enough.
See what I see.
You've got to.
That's not enough.
I get
okay.
that. No, no.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're alone. You feel lonely. See, you've got. I don't know why you're resistant to it, but you've got to get. It's not going to happen just from one place. You want to have an abundance of those kinds of situations.
Well, I do travel to the next city, which is Austin, and I do get. I go and have a reading done, like, at least once a month, and it makes me feel better. I just want to know
but
how
that's not
to
enough.
Know guide. Who's my guide?
How to what?
Who can I? My guide. Who? They see my guide, and I don't hear him. I don't see him.
Because you're not, because I really want you to re-listen to this when you get a chance.
Okay.
Because, sweetie, you'll get it, but you're not getting it because you're not opening to receive to it. You're giving to other people, which is great, and you're seeing their light, and you're helping them. But you have to get on your own magical mystery tour bus where you bump into somebody, and they go, Laura, I see your light, or I've only met you for 5 minutes, and we've had this great conversation. I get you. See, you're saying to other people, I get you. I see you. You need to journey into places and open up so that other people can say that to you. Laura, I see you. I get you. I get you. See, once you open to that, it's not going and getting a reading. After we hang up, it's asking yourself, what are the qualities of people in situations and circumstances that uplift me? Not just you giving information out or uplifting someone. That's great. But where the real magic comes is when you open to receive and allow the universe through other people to do that for you.
I've never had that.
I know. But see, you can't. Yeah, you won't get your. Yeah. See, we don't. It's very interesting.
I didn't know that was important.
No, it's not only important, it's critical and it's extremely important. Many people don't realize that your soul path, your soul gifts don't come to you or open up and by just helping other people. You have to have the other flow of self-love because you're on this path too. So the more self-love people have, the more they honor their creativity, the more they honor their self-expression, the more they honor just their way of being and nurture themselves, put themselves in situations where they're being uplifted, that's when the gate really opens. Okay, so let us know. Keep us posted. This is your growth work, your soul growth work, and then let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got to really rock and roll now. 718-994, welcome to Awakenings Radio. 718-994, welcome to Awakenings Radio. You're on? Yep. I don't hear anything. I'll come back to you. That's 718-994. Okay, come back. Let's see, 201-321, welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, who is this?
Hi, this is Kathy. I'm so glad I got on. I've been trying to get on for the past couple of weeks now.
Oh, Kathy, great.
So I was actually writing everything down that you were telling the previous caller because I'm having similar issues. And I immediately went online and I was checking for yoga classes. I just moved into a new community. I've been working on myself for the past couple of years, doing emotional, just releasing things and a lot of meditation. And I'm still feeling a little bit stuck career-wise. I have a lot of interests. I do Reiki. I do art. I would like to start my own business, and I just applied for a job that I think I'm getting an offer on, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start, kind of. So
okay,
I'm wondering,
Kathy, let me just
anything.
Ask you, I'm straight from the guys, is it Kathy with a K or a C?
With a K.
Okay, I thought I had down, but I want to make sure. Okay, because it changes vibrationally. The first thing I hear for you is to do it all, do your art, do your Reiki. By the way, is the job, because I feel part-time work. If you're doing, even if you start something full-time, I feel somehow you're going to be cutting back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I actually wanted to apply to a part-time so that I can
focus more on
a business. But
yes,
I think
yes.
The offer that's coming to me might be full-time.
That's okay, but you'll get something else that's part-time is what I'm hearing, because I do see you developing the Reiki and the art. I feel you doing a few things. Now, see, this is part of the new paradigm and the new economy, way of managing energy. As many people will have you know, I think they said within a lifetime, 5 to 7. And this is not, this is conventional statistics, by the way, in some business stuff that I had done, working with some business coaches.
Okay.
And this is back in like the mid-90s. A 5 to 7 successful career, that means making money at it. So the soul life, yeah. And you think about it. Why can't, there's the person that's the actor, they're the writer, and they do art, and they also are a director, and maybe they sing. Why, you know? So that's not everybody. Some people come in with one specific thing, and that's fine, and sometimes they maximize it into other ways. It's like the musician that maybe has a book out or a CD, you know, CDs, maybe writes, you know, maybe teaches or paints. I want to share with you and everyone, the soul likes variety. It doesn't like doing just one thing. So in the new paradigm...
Oh, good. I thought I was going crazy.
No. And I've always been that. Marianne Williamson has a wonderful book. It's an oldie called A Woman's Worth. And in the back, and it's not just... To me, it could be a man and woman's worth or people's worth. But
okay.
She says some people come in with a coat of many colors, like a multicolored coat, and some people come in with a coat of one color. You know, you come in with a black coat or a camel coat. So I've done many things. It's never bothered me. I know it makes other people nervous, like, how could you do this and how can you do that? How does that go together, you know? Especially when I was modeling, and I had a very successful modeling career, and I would do readings and healing, and they're like, oh, does that confuse you? And I'm like, no, it doesn't confuse me at all. You know?
Yeah.
So
that was me. I was acting, and now I'm writing blogs and doing artwork and a little bit of everything.
And I always go back
to being practical, and then people are like, well, you need to get a job, a real job. So then I just fall back into that, and I feel dull.
Yeah, Laura, what I see for you is I do feel there's going to have some kind of part-time employment. And then I do see you doing your art, the blogging, and then also doing the Reiki. And I do feel eventually you will do more of your the Reiki and the art. We're meant, you know, in the new paradigm, we're meant that you have 3 to 5 sources of income or 3 to 5, minimum, 3 to 5 sources of self-expression. So that's a good kind of rule or earmark for everyone. And it can take many different shapes and forms, you know. But you're, again, it's individual to each soul. So, yeah, you're on the right path. You're in the right direction. The part-time job, I do feel, will happen for you. And you'll be doing your Reiki and your art as well as your writing.
So should I feel like an offer is coming on soon, full-time, and I've had a couple of people say that it might not be right for me, and I'm kind of feeling that, but I'm also of my husband a lot.
Think of what's right for you. You know what? You can always say no, and you can always quit.
Okay.
So don't worry about it. You know, sometimes, you know, I feel for you, it's also about you listening to your own, you know, inner knowing at this time. I feel like you've got a good handle on what's right for you. And so I would say more listening to that. And, you know, you need to do that to go to your next level. You know, you've got to be able to listen. To help others, you've got to be able to listen to yourself. We can't tell other people to listen to themselves when we're not listening to ourselves. And believe me, I have the same thing, you know, so in my own way.
Right. I've been told I'm a healer at heart, and then I just felt like, It interests me, like the whole energy healing field also interests me, but I kind of held back on it as well. I just keep skipping around. I think it's, I don't know.
Because at this time you need, to do it all.
Okay.
Until you don't. And it might be, you know, I do commercials. I'm working on a project. This production company came to me, wants to produce one of the shows that I've developed on, for me, in Expanding Awakenings. You know, there's no reason you can't do it all until you can't, until something else you lose interest or you don't have the time for it. But let yourself follow your inclinations a little bit more.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Okay. That makes sense.
Good.
So,
keep us posted. I got to go to the next one. Keep us posted. All right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, 720-628. You're on Awakenings Radio.
Hi, Michelle. It's Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Oh, you called back.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing great.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm great to you.
Good.
And I want you to hopefully be able to tell me, you know, next year for me is going to be hopefully completely better. I'm pretty sure. But I'd like you to see for me, like, what's the main thing that I can do to kind of bring 2014 in the most possible, powerful, best way.
And I didn't get the last part, to do what in the most powerful, positive way?
Yeah, the most, possible, powerful, positive way.
Yeah, but what did you say before that? What do you want to do?
Bring 2014 in, like, with the bang.
Oh, 2014. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you've got, give me two things. Well, first of all, I get a lot with you with communication, also branching out into other groups, making yourself more independent. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot of benefit for you becoming more independent, and then also the connecting with other like-minded individuals. And then there's a lot with you around communication. So I don't know if that's writing or speaking. Well, the guides are now telling me speaking your truth more. So that's part of your independence, is speaking your truth more, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's definitely good.
Yeah. So that's the main focus. Getting comfortable. Yeah. And there will be some, I feel, dating or relationship as well as some creative ideas. Have you worked on events?
No, actually, not in a while.
Oh, but you did before. When did you do that? It shows you have a real flair for that, putting people together, parties together.
Yeah, it's been, at least 6 years, because our son is a little over six, so yeah, it's been quite a while.
Did you put a party together or something for him?
For him? Oh, yeah, I've done his, but not grown people, you know, like little kids, but, sure. But I used to do actual, you know, adults, too.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, like, they're really good at that. They've really got a flair and also a kind of a aesthetic, artistic flair as well. But connecting back in with your independence, the independent you. So maybe a little bit, it's kind of, that's the rebalancing that's taking place. Thanks, Michelle, for calling in.
Thank you, too, so much. And you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You too. Always good to hear from you.
Bye.
Oh. Hi, Denise. Welcome to Awakening.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Denise.
Hi. I just wanted to ask about my daughter, Kayla. Starts with K.
Okay.
Because I keep worrying about her, and I don't want to do that, but that's what happens.
Now, what do you want to know about her? What's the exact question? How to help her? What's going on with her?
Maybe what's going on.
Okay. Has she been a little, there's a lot to do with communication here for a lot of people, miscommunication. Do you feel she's kind of backed off a little bit from you or not as open? That's what it's showing. Well, it's interesting, the caller before you. Michelle, and I've got independence. Your daughter's trying to get independence.
Right.
And so that's why she's backing off a little bit and trying to figure things out on her own. I don't feel, you know, but you guys, you must have been, I feel almost like you were really close.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then things got a little irritated, a little edgy, and now she seems not to be as open and holding back. She, my dear, is going through the wonderful individuation process. And by the way, you know, if we allow for that more, how to hold that more sacredly, then people don't have to come into therapy and learn how to do that. Because we have to learn that. So that's what she's – I don't feel anything particularly wrong. It's okay. Just she's trying to find her way, you know, how is she in the world, who is she? And there might be some little, you know, oh, mom, or little, you know, pulling back or rolling the eye. You know, there may be a little bit of that because yeah. you guys are so close.
Yeah.
And she's trying to sort out what is me and what is mom, you know. Or
right.
So she might be a little contrary just to be contrary, you know, like.
Yeah.
Even if she agrees with it or later finds out, oh, I really do agree with her, right now she's not going to let you.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But that's what I feel. And she's a little confused with it. There's some irritation about it
yeah.
as well. But,
okay.
Well,
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome, sweetie. Big hug.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Hello and bye from Australia. Okay, wonderful input. If you ever have questions or comments or guest suggestions, you can always email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. Okay, you can always call in. Our next guest coming on for our Awakening Conversation today is Peter Jubin. He's the author of the book Simply Notice. Fascinating book about awareness and just being in that present moment. What is clear awareness and how clear awareness can actually make us more happy? Welcome to the program, Peter Jubin. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, Michelle. Thank
Hi.
You very much. Great to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time out to come share with us.
Oh, sure. My pleasure.
Yeah, I love I would like to dive, you know, there's actually lots of questions I have for you, but first of all, just to set it up for our listeners, is your own awakening and how you got on this path, and, you know, and then also how it led you to even think of writing a book like this.
Uh-huh. Well, my experience was nothing, I'd say, dramatic like some people have these, you know, certain types of experiences. In fact, I was reading your bio on your website, and it seems like you had some rather dramatic experience. Mine was not. It was more of a gradual thing in which there was a kind of a dissatisfaction with, you know, is this all there is to life? And a kind of a feeling, an inner feeling, there's got to be something more or something just isn't right here. And so at the time I was living and working in New York, and I was bored with my job, bored to tears. I was bored when I was in college, but I didn't have at that time the presence of mind to do something about that. I thought, well, I went to a fine university and everything, you know, but I thought, well, everybody goes through college, gets a job, and that's what you do. And I wasn't listening closely enough to the inner voice, so to speak. And I started going in bookstores. I heard you talking earlier on the show about how you like to poke around in bookstores. Well, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I'm sure you've seen too, and probably many of the listeners, one book leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another. Some resonate, some don't. You move on. Whatever. So it was kind of like that. And then I found at one point a tiny little book. It's called The Infinite Way. And it was written by a man named Joel Goldsmith, who is known to be a Christian mystic, he's called sometimes. And there's a huge following. They're very low profile. Everybody kind of keeps it to themselves all over the globe, though. And I studied and was in that teaching for many years. And then at one point, a friend told me about, the work of another man. His name was Alfred Aiken, A-I-K-E-N. And he wrote on what is called, you might say, infinite reality or absolute reality. And in reading his books, those were the ones that the voice was saying, this is it. This is it, and this is it, and there ain't nothing beyond this. So, and that's kind of what happened. And of course, you're let's say, your interest, your living in spirituality or as that, doesn't go away, but it's coming from a very different place at that point or at this point now. For me, you're, pardon me, there's no longer seeking, trying to get somewhere. It's as if, particularly in his work, it's as if the perspective turned around completely, 180 degrees, and it was like, well, wait a minute. Whatever term you want to use, God, the one, self, with a capital S, love, life, it's the one really, honestly, being conscious, alive, aware, living here now, and it's the only one doing that. Peter Jubin or Michelle nor anybody else personally knows how to make life be alive, or I don't keep my finger on the button and make consciousness be conscious all day long. Consciousness is doing that. Life is doing that, and I can't alter that. And this self is already at itself. It's not seeking itself. And it's the one conscious here. And that just, you know, clicked and said, well, of course. And so it's a kind of a living out from there rather than as a imaginary separate me trying to get somewhere. When the real me is already there.
It's already there. So this is like, it sounds like it's a recognition of that. And I always think it's interesting, Peter, you touched on this. I've always said I feel on the path we go from seeking to finding to being. You know, there's that seeking,
exactly.
And it's out there, right? And then you just start living it.
Exactly. That's exactly
and
it. Living. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say what I do love about what you're sharing is because I think so many people awaken to their path, I don't want to say, in that kind of divine discontent. There's got to be more, there's something. And a lot of times people don't know, what do I do at that stage? You know? Some people go seeking, some people just say, well, I guess this is all there is, or, you know, I'm not fulfilled. Why do you think you ventured? Was there a little voice, or did you just start thinking, well, maybe I should do research? I mean, how did that shift happen in your mind?
In terms of my sort of going along the path there, looking for one thing and another, you referring to?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
A little bit of a delay here. No, sorry, we got a little bit of a delay here. The fact that what that discontent looked like, or there's got to be more. And you took action on it, because I think this is helpful for our listeners.
Yeah, I
see
what you mean.
So many people don't take action on it. Yeah, how do you know that?
It was, that's a great point. You know, we don't always look at that too closely. Like, what's driving this whole thing here? Maybe for some it's a very clear, specific thing. But in my case, it was more of a feeling. And it's just whatever felt right at the time. And I just would follow that feeling, that inner feeling. It's very hard to describe, but something feels right. We use that term resonate so much. It's getting kind of tired, but that's kind of, I'd say, what happened from going, you know, from one kind of feeling of rightness to the next. And it, as we all, I think, have experienced, something satisfies that hunger for a while. And then it gets satisfied, and you move on because you're no longer getting that. The you that you really are is infinite. And, you know, a lot of what we read and take in, we use it, and then you go, okay, got it. You know, and let's not sell infinite intelligence short that it needs to keep going over and over and over the same thing. You know, it doesn't. There's a point where you can say, okay, got it. And it's really, you know, life's intelligence that's got it. I'll say this, too. In retrospect, the worst was the groping and the not knowing what's right. As we've all seen, too, there's so much stuff out there now, and so much of it is in conflict with, you know, one book is in conflict with what another says. And how do you sort that all out? You know, because you're reading these and they seem to be written by knowledgeable authorities, mm-hmm. which in many cases is the case, yet there can be this variance. And that's what bugged me. And you just got to keep going until you find something that is within you unshakable, that absolutely can't be broken down or, you know, have anything beyond it. And that's how it worked for me. And that's the first book that I wrote, Consciousness is All, that was something that I couldn't not do. That came up kind of from within very definitely, and it was like, you got to do this or else you won't be able to live with yourself for the rest of your life. Not, you know, looking back and saying, well, I could have let this book express itself, but I decided to not do it. That would have been I just couldn't have not, that was not an option. So I wrote that, or it kind of wrote itself through me. And then the newer book, Simply Notice, is just a more basic, kind of simple, even entertaining in a lot of ways, expression of the same thing, but it maybe doesn't go quite as deep into certain areas and points. And I wanted, again, because of this groping thing, it just felt like, well, why can't, look, for what appears as all of us, it's always really, again, the same life, the same intelligence, the same one, same love, and it knows what is true of itself. It recognizes itself when it sees itself being talked about in a book or something like that. And there's no reason, because it's always the one reading the book, really, there's no reason why it can't be expressed in a way that is accessible to everyone. It's just a matter, there's got to be a way to say it. It's just, how do you say it?
And what would you call this, the innate intelligence? Is that consciousness? Is that what?
You can use a lot of synonyms for it. I've done it there, but ultimately they're all pointing to or meaning the exact same thing. First of all, it never really can be reduced to a word, the actual.
What?
You know, any word is conceptual, of course. But
Life
itself, I like life because then you don't get into these debates. And they're also, I prefer the non-denominational words to avoid, you know, differences of opinion due to religion and conditioning. Nothing wrong with any religions, but we'll all agree they all got a lot of differences at times on one level or another among them. So, a term, the broader the better, like life, one with a capital O, love, divine love, not personal love, not personal attraction. It's more universal than that. Consciousness, pure consciousness,
even just pure consciousness. I like just even what you say, life, because you can, depending on people's, you know, orientation, you know, some people may think they're agnostic, you do get into these little, you know, descriptive words that can separate out because people are focused on that word. But if you say life, that's like everything, it's life, right?
Who's not alive?
Right.
Yeah, who's not alive? And that was actually in the first book, Consciousness is All, that was part of the reason for that choice. If you use the word God, you're going to get a different opinion and reaction for every reader of the book. But when you say consciousness, again, who's not conscious? And that consciousness is not something that anyone individually, as a person or a body, is responsible for functioning. It's consciousness or life itself that's doing that. We don't do that. We personally think and have sensations and emotions and energetic feelings and maybe psychic experiences, spectrum, but the being conscious part is life doing that in the broad sense.
That's a good, It is life itself, right? It is the very life.
Exactly.
So it is very broad. Wow, I love that. Very expanded.
Exactly. Yeah.
And your book, simply noticed. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? And I mean, noticing is so profound. I think it's overlooked. But how did that come about? And what is the reason really for wanting to communicate this?
Again, it goes back to, I'd say that the first book that I wrote is a very, it's been described as, well, a very deep or serious book for the seasoned spiritual reader, and mm-hmm. it's been called a finishing book, things of that type.
Yep.
But it's
Peter, give us that name just so our listeners have that.
Sure.
Your first
book. Consciousness is All. And there's a subtitle to it, which is Now Life is Completely New.
Mm. Okay.
And it talks a lot
about...
So
you have this... Go ahead.
I was going to say, again, when it was written to me, this is typical author stuff, but... It's like, well, I know what I'm saying, and it's perfectly clear, and so anybody is going to get this. And it doesn't quite turn out that way because it's coming from such a different place. It is written as if it were the one self talking to itself rather than mm-hmm. as a separate me who's going to find out about consciousness and make my way to mm-hmm. a higher consciousness. Coming from the other direction, that's kind of what makes it not always so easy to get. So mm-hmm. one of the reasons for writing Simply Notice was, again, to try and, well, let's break it down and express it in a different way, and because it's still the same reality that we're mm-hmm. talking about, it's just say it differently. And by everybody, just like everybody is alive, everybody notices stuff. And mm. you can start with what your true nature is, or what maybe we assume we really are, and notice things about that, and just take one thing at a time and just go down the line in terms of what your actual experience is. And one of the things that came out in the writing, and which I like very much, is that it is not a matter of an author named Peter telling you things. And here's my opinion or my theory. Mm. Rather, it's putting it in the reader's lap and saying, see for yourself. Look at your own experience and see if this holds up or not. And in the book, there is, once you get past the first chapter, there is a noticing of one thing per page. That's all you do. And then you move on to something else and something else. And that keeps it simple. Everyone loves that format. The feedback I've gotten so far about the book is the kind of the simplicity of it. And, you know, ultimately, well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think it is, it's harder to notice one thing. It's harder than to notice many. Do you know what I mean? To really kind of slow down, to really take in that, you know, one object or item and be present to that.
We're so not used to doing that, and that's what the book does. It kind of slows things down and, you know, zeroes in on whatever it is, you know, that a particular chapter, let's say, happens to be dealing with. And it deals with a lot of things. For example, just during the day, we're bombarded. The minute the body gets out of bed, even while the body's still in bed, we're bombarded by sensory information. Mm. If the body's asleep and laying in bed, there's already a feeling of, even we may not even notice it, but there's tactile or feelings of touch of a body on a mattress. The sheets and the bed cover has a certain feeling. The feet get on the floor. That's another tactile sensation. And then you're hearing sounds. You've got all the visual sensations, thoughts in your head. Emotions, maybe something pleasant from the day, the evening before. And so we're bombarded by stuff. But when you zero in on them and sort those things out, one thing you see is that there is all this information that seems to be there of varying types. And then there is this you that is aware of and noticing all of it, or is capable, let's put it that way, of noticing. But that which is aware of, let's say, a feeling of feet on a floor, of a whatever that feeling feels like, is not, that which is aware of that feeling is not the same as that feeling.
Mm. Oh, really? So aware,
you know, there's a distinction, and that's why
separation. Yeah.
Yes, and in another sense, in a deeper sense, there really isn't a separateness, but we're so unaccustomed to just having the clarity that, well, wait a minute, that sensation or that sound I just heard, that voice, is something that this awareness here is aware of, but it is not the awareness itself. And that's why, because if awareness were the sound itself, then there would be nothing to distinguish the sound of a cell phone ringing from a TV being on. You know, there's something there that goes, oh, that's one kind of sound, and that's another one. And it's that same awareness that knows a taste of oatmeal is different from a sound of a radio or a feeling of hot coffee in the mouth or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like these awarenesses are tied into our sensory perception to some degree.
Well, there's a lot of it, but there's also, for example, it's the same awareness that can be aware of the sound of a voice is also the same awareness that's aware of a thought in your head, which often is kind of a sound too. It's the sound of your thinking voice. You know, or an image maybe that you have in thought, and it's the same awareness that's aware of an emotion, you know, a feeling of happiness or anger or something, whatever it might be, and
kind of
with
the observer
all of this. Yes, that's a great way to put it. And with all of this activity, another thing that can notice is that it is always on the move. Thoughts come and go. Tactile sensations or other sensations like sounds, like the voice, the words that I uttered about 10 seconds ago have now gone. They've come and gone, and now this sound that's coming out in this particular moment in time seems to be, and now it's leaving. The moment it gets said, it's kind of on the way out already. But the entire time, there is an awareness that's present that is not moving. It's just present and is noticing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real you.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a wonderful distinction.
Yeah. And right now for you and myself and those who are listening, if just try to kind of sit and maybe be still, maybe take a deep breath and relax and just try to be, even if maybe your body's looking out across a room or space, wherever it happens to be, and just try to be, rather than focusing on any one thing, just try to be kind of aware of the whole scene. And there's a visual image there, but then there's something that's aware of that visual image.
Yeah, and I always feel that kind of tingly. It's like around the perimeter somehow.
Yes, it's alive. It's alive stuff. It's alive stuff, this awareness. This consciousness is alive. I mean, consciousness can't
that's
be dead and still be.
Yeah.
And another thing about this consciousness or awareness is that it itself, for example, if you were in a cafe right now sitting and there'd be people walking back and forth getting their orders and so on, they're moving back and forth, but this awareness is kind of like a movie screen. It's kind of a little bit of a well-used example, but it's like the white screen, and there appears to be all this movement on it of the movie characters, but this, no matter how much movement there is during a movie, with all the characters and all the images, that screen never budges.
Mm.
And this awareness functions in the same way. It is always present tense.
Mm. Like is that what's meant, Peter, that why it can change? They say consciousness just simply changes shape and form. So it kind of extends out and morphs into something?
I make the distinction that on one level, that's how it appears, yes. But in a deeper
okay.
sense, it's if you look closely, there's always the change and the form, mm-hmm. the shifting, whatever, always is something one is conscious of. Otherwise, you couldn't
right.
say it was changing, if not for
right.
being conscious of it. But the entire time that is happening, there is a something that is conscious or aware, which is, again, always not changing. Because
not
if
changing.
It were on the same level as the change, if it were one with that which is changing, then it couldn't kind of stand back from it and say, ah, I notice a change going on over there. It would be, it's like if you're on a train, inside the interior of the train, you're moving with that train. But if you
mm-hmm.
were outside the train, standing on the train platform, you'd be stationary, and you'd be able to see that train go zipping by. And it's
mm-hmm.
a very different type of perception than if you're on the same level, so to speak, as the movement. And in a deepest sense, that's what pure consciousness or pure awareness is.
Mm.
It can't be... It can't not be present.
Mm. So that's the unchanging. So there's always
uh-huh.
a part of it that's unchanging then, that just is. That's just
yes. Yes,
wow,
exactly. Exactly. And I would, you know, if anyone is kind of skeptical or has doubts about this, I would urge them to just kind of inquire or investigate in your own experience and see if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But part of
well, it is when if you did that exercise, it is when I do that, when I just focus on something or just focus on what is or how, where I am or what's around me, you do always feel that part that just is not part of, this, like you're saying, the shape and form. It's something that seems to be
yes.
around it or the shape and form is from it. I'm not quite sure. But,
yes.
but there is a distinction in feeling it. I guess you could also call it the subtle energy in a way.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes we use a term like just aliveness, conscious aliveness.
Aliveness.
Yeah.
I like that,
and
conscious
it's,
aliveness.
Yeah, and if again, you'll notice, too, that that aliveness that's going mm-hmm. on, or if you want to use the term subtle, it always is alive presently.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be alive 2 seconds ago because that's not here. It can't be alive, actually alive, 2 seconds from now, but the actual aliving of it is always now, as in the present.
Mm.
We can have a thought of 2 seconds ago and think about having felt alive 2 seconds ago, but that's not the same as the actual aliving, which is not a thought. It's...
Mm.
presence.
Mm, wow. Profound. There's something that you talk about in your book about that we say life is on Earth, but it's actually
yeah.
not on Earth. So
yes.
So where is it?
That's the kind of leap. Yeah, that's the $60,000 question. For this to be clear, and I'm not saying that I can make it clear in just a few minutes of conversation here, but we can take a shot at it. Right now, we have an assumption. We're taught something that further investigation shows is not true. And our basic, this mistaken assumption is that awareness or consciousness is limited to being inside the body, inside the head, inside the brain. And there is certainly some kind of activity that is in the brain, undeniably, but there is something that functions also outside the body, and that's why we have the terms universal consciousness, cosmic consciousness that have been around forever. And all of those things. And just very quickly, if I can make a kind of a noticing or a distinction here, notice, for example, you feel the, let's say, inside your chest and below in your belly, you feel a movement down there, and that's experienced as inside the body. Let's say you had a muscle cramp in your left calf. That would be inside the body. Let's say the taste of toothpaste. That would be experienced as being inside the body. Now, at the same time, and all of those things are things that this aware you notices, right? You notice those all three things are noticed.
Yeah.
Three different feelings said to be inside the body. Now,
right.
How about the room in which the body now appears to be seated or listening to, or doing whatever it's doing in whatever space that is? That room appears to be outside the body. And maybe there's an object of furniture that is part of the room, and that's also outside the body. And let's say that there's a window, and it's possible to look out that window and see a blue sky out there. That, too, is outside of the body. But notice that all of those outside of the body things are also noticed. They also are things that this aware you is aware of in the exact same way that the inside the body things are things that you're aware of. Does that make sense?
Yes.
They have, some are inside the body, some are outside the body, but what they all have in common is that they are things that this aware, this you that's presently aware, kind of includes. It's like a bubble of awareness or noticing that includes all this activity, the outside the body stuff and the inside the body stuff. And with examination, you come to see, and breaking things down and what's actually going on, you come to see that awareness actually is not limited to being inside the body. That's an assumption we have. And just another, this is a little example that's in the book. This is, it's imperfect, but it's a very quick way to get a sense of what I'm trying to point out here, is that, this is holiday time. And we've all seen those little glass decorative balls that have a snow scene, miniature snow scene inside them, about the size of a baseball. You know, you pick it up and you shake it and it starts snowing. And maybe inside there's a tiny little couple of people and a house and a sleigh and some trees, whatever. And we're taught that we are limited to being one of those little people in the scene, and that our awareness or consciousness is inside that little body. And actually, awareness is more like the glass of the ball. It includes everything. That's how it functions. And it's really not limited to being, you know, round in shape or spherical and so on. It has no limits, no boundaries to it. And as you continue noticing things, it can be said just as readily that awareness is inside the body. Awareness is outside the body, and it includes everything, even the universe. See if it's possible right now to mention any part of the universe. You could say the sun, the moon, distant galaxies, let's say the observable universe, stars and so on. They are way outside the body. But are they outside of awareness? No, because if they were, you couldn't be aware of them. They're included within awareness. And this, even the planet Earth, has there ever been anything about what appears as the planet Earth that is, has been something you weren't aware of, that wasn't something within your awareness? It's outside the body. It appears to be outside the body, but it's not outside of awareness.
Because
if it were, you know, if anyone, again, you know, this might be really sort of shaking things up a little bit for some of us, when this, something like this seems so new and unusual, but go back over your entire experience and see if there's anything that you can mention about any of that experience that hasn't been something one is conscious of or aware of, in other words, within all that of which awareness is aware. No, it is not beyond or outside or apart from awareness. None of it. And this awareness is alive. And so just real quick to finish, I'm going a long way around the barn to deal with your question, but I guess I kind of had to.
No, that's okay. We're winding out of time. Unfortunately, out of time. We're going to have you back
out
of time. I did want to let the big takeaway I love is this awareness is alive, is aliveness. I think that's so profound. It kind of sets a lot in motion. Also, Peter, I want to let people know you do have a workshop in San Diego, California, the weekend of January 24th to the 26th. And people can find out more information by going to simplynotice.com, and that you'll also do one-on-one consultations. So that's great. And people can find out more information on simplynotice.com. And then you also have consciousnessisall.com for your first book as well. I have to have you back. I love what you're sharing. And it's, I think
you're
putting it, you're putting it in terms that make it so easy for people to get, very accessible, and definitely the noticing exercises in your book are very profound, but very easy to do as well. So
that's the thing. It really is simple, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. It's maybe different from what we're used to, but it's actually simple.
It's simple, yeah. Thank you so much, Peter, for being on the program.
Oh, thank you too, Michelle. I really appreciate it. And I just want to say thanks to all your listeners too for listening in. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. Come back for part two. We'll have to get you back and dive in even
Wonderful. More. That's fine. Anytime. Just let me know.
Thank you. Okay, and that was Peter Jubin, and the book that we were speaking of is Simply Notice. The first book is Consciousness is All, and his latest book is Simply Notice. And he does have a workshop coming up in San Diego, California. If you're in the area, you want to fly in, it'll be the weekend of January 24th to the 26th. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Also, this weekend, we've got the Soul Path Workshop. You can find out more about it at awakeningsradio@gmail.com or on my Facebook page, or you can go to deepertruth.com. Eventbrite.com. And the deeper truth, there's a T after truth, the T-R-U-T-H and T. A little typo there. Anyway, always great to connect with all of you on Wednesdays. Those of you that called in, keep us posted on your progress, how you're doing, questions or comments, guest topic suggestions, just always email me at awakeningsradio.com. Always love being here with all of you. Till next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.